First of all, thank you very much for your kind words. You're a wonderful, special Talmud, and I always appreciate spending time with him, but also he's always very kind in introducing me. And it's also a pleasure to be here to see that the... The eyes are working. Both the cords are working. thank you. Yes, we'll put that in
the straw also.
You really did. Okay. So it's really a pleasure to be here to see the program back in full, even more, I guess, right? It's, I understand, double the size. We're making up for last year. But in the sense that it reflects somewhat of the beginnings of a return to normalcy, and especially the energy of appreciation of being able to come together and to Talmud Torah, to learn and to teach in Eretz Yisrael. It's really a wonderful thing, very inspiring to see. And the fact that a lot of my own personal Talmudim on different levels, as you heard, sounds a little scary when you see all the different, whether it's, the Rabbeim or a lot of the Madrichim who are Talmidim of mine, so it's special to see them. I don't know what Josh is doing. I thought we married him off and got him out of here, but it's a pleasure to see everybody. What's that?
My return flight's after every second speech.
Is it really? Okay. So it's really a pleasure to be here. As Jurevsky mentioned, I've already had this course. I happened to be in the Kotel for Mincha, meeting some sons of Talmidim who are in the program, and that's very special for me. Okay. The topic today is to speak a little bit about the importance of Talmud Torah, both in terms of learning and teaching, and in the end, to speak a little bit about learning B'iyun and how that fits in. Again, Talmidim of mine have probably heard many of these things before because I think they're very important to talk about them. Josh certainly has been around a long time. He's certainly heard them. But either way, it's important to touch base with these ideas. So the Gemara says in Masechet Brochos, and Avchav Aleph Amin Aleph, the Gemara speaks about... originally speaks about the Makar for Birchas HaMazon Daraisa. It's a psukim that we read in this morning's Kriya Satara, the Chalta, the Savata, Uveilachta. And from there, the Gemara says, after saying Yinayim, the Birchas HaMazon La'acharecha, Min HaTorah, the number of the Chalta, the Savata, Uveilachta, the Gemara says, Yinayim, the Birchas HaTorah, Lefaneha, Min HaTorah. And the Gemara says, Shenemar, Kishem HaShem Ekra, Havu, Godel Lelokein. And then the Gemara goes back and forth. We don't have so much time. It's a very fascinating Shaka Bataria, where the Gemara wants to know whether you can actually derive one from the other. Birchas HaTorah, in other words, from Birchas HaMazon, or Birchas HaMazon from Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara Kedarka, points out that there are elements that apply to one and not to the other, kulas and chumas, and that makes it difficult. And at one point, the Gemara characterizes each of the ma'ala mazon shekein nene, ma'ala Torah shekein chaye ola. So it's just a very pithy, succinct characterization of Talmud Torah. The Gemara says, there's a mazon, that's hano. We understand what that is. That's physical pleasure, it's... sustenance of life, but Talmud Torah, that shekein chayol, doesn't even say chayol mama, it says chayol. Of course, it echoes, for us, one of the lishonos in Birchas HaTorah, b'chaye olam, nata b'sochein. And again, it's a very powerful, phrase, the idea that somehow Limud HaTorah is the source of chaye olam. A life worth living. The ambiguity of the words chaye olam imply, a certain reference to certainly quality of life, but also, the ambiguity, which olam? Olam hazeh, olam haba? The answer is of all olams, basically. So even the terminology of the Gemara, when the Gemara is distinguishing, and of course the part of the Shaklavatarya, which compares these two things, is extremely significant. Of course, when you take a step back and you look at this Gemara, what's particularly surprising is two things. Number one, the implication that Birchas HaTorah is Doraisa. Certainly Birchas HaMazon is Doraisa. That Birchas HaMazon is Doraisa is a pasuk in Chumash, undeniable. Everybody agrees, that is the case. But typically we think that, that is unique. Like among brachos, the one that's Doraisa, Likula Alma, according to some, the only one that's Doraisa, is Birchas HaMazon. Yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta. But any other bracha, is default considered to be Durabana. And that includes, mostly, Birchas HaTorah. There are some Rishonim who think that there are other brachos that might be Doraisa, possibly a Birchas HaMotzi, in Birchas HaNenin, if it's a Birchas HaSeuda, and not simply a bracha on bread, which explains a lot of other things. Possibly, Rashi in his Perush al HaTorah, in our Pesachim Shir, reason to mention this a little bit also, because we were talking about Birchas HaTorah about a month and a half ago, but the bracha on Hafrashas Trumas Maestros. Some people think that Rashi, lo shachachti, milav arechecha, but that refers to making a bracha. Maybe that's Doraisa, others interpret differently. But the Pashtos, almost all brachos are Rabbanan. And therefore, the suggestion in the Gemara Minayim that Talmud Torah is like Birchas HaMazon, that's Doraisa, and the equation between them, notwithstanding the difference between them, Shekeinen and Chai Olam, if anything, somebody asked me, which is more likely to be, Doraisa, Shekeinen, or Chai Olam, I think most of us, again, even the contrarians among us, would agree, that there's a din of Chai Olam, that that's far more of a compelling, reason, to make a bracha. So the first, response that we have, or this first reaction to the Gemara, is that the equation, that the question, that the assumption, that all of this is extremely mechudash. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, very famously, criticizes the Rambam for omitting Birchas HaTorah as one of the mitzvos taryak. As you know, the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvos, and he counted 613 mitzvos. And the Ramban wrote a fascinating critique of the Rambam, where he disagrees. Part of his critique is where the Rambam should have, but from the Ramban's perspective, omitted mitzvos. So one of the prominent omissions that the Ramban is unhappy about is that the Rambam didn't count Birchas HaTorah as a separate mitzvah among the Minyan Tariag. He says, well, what is the makor? Why would you count it? He says, because the Gemara in Brachos says, Minayim, and quotes, Kishem Hashem Ekraha V'Godel Elokeinu. And as such, it's clear that this is a Din Doraisa. Then the Ramban, again, it's a fascinating Ramban. Every line there is kind of a gem. But we just don't have time for a moment. We have to get to a certain point, a certain amount of the material, or certain ideas at least. So you'll trust me, I guess. I'm not going to quote. But the Ramban, addresses the question. He says, it's fine, you don't think that Birchas HaTorah is Doraisa. That, of course, doesn't necessarily lead to the conclusion that it should be counted independently in Minyan HaMitzvos, right? Because it would be very reasonable, even if you thought that Birchas HaTorah was Min HaTorah, to think that it would still be a prat, a detail, in Talmud Torah. The Rambam counts the mitzvah of Talmud Torah among the Minyan Tariag. So, that the bracha that you make on that mitzvah, if the bracha on lulav or shofar or sukkah or whatever was Minat Torah, was a Doraisa requirement, would that necessarily mean that every one of these brachos would be counted independently in Minyan and Mitzvos? Certainly not. So the Ramban says, I'm aware of that possibility, but I really think that Birchas HaTorah is different, and he compares it to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Excuse me. He compares it to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and to Mikra Bikurim. These are the three recitations that require, not only a Doraisa, articulation, but that are independent mitzvahs in the entire. But when you take a step back and you think about it, you might say, Bishlam or Mikra Bikurim, you can bring Bikurim, with, and without, the text. Sometimes you may be Veinukore. It's a level or a status, it's not a bracha that you make, when you do the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim. It's an independent mitzvah. That's why you can have sometimes circumstances, where you're a maybe Veinukore. Doesn't read as a bracha, and frankly, it makes sense, that it might be an independent mitzvah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we certainly understand, is independent of matzah and maror and korban pesach, which the Ramban mentions, as the analog. You wouldn't necessarily say that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to korban pesach what Birchas HaTorah is to Libur HaTorah. At least you wouldn't think so superficially. So the Ramban's, ability to identify other, precedents, other examples, where the articulation, where the, formulation constitutes an independent mitzvah, the examples that he brings, if anything, accentuate the chiddush that he's saying. It doesn't solve the problem. It is very provocative, and it leads in a certain direction. It motivates us, to look further, into the implication of this bracha A being extremely rare, maybe the only other bracha, or in a very small group, that is Doraisa, as well as, also getting this independent status in Minyan and Mitzvah. So the question, of course, is why. The bigger question is the issue itself, not how could this be Doraisa, and even more so for the Ramban, how it could be an independent mitzvah, but the Makar itself. Kishem Hashem Makra, Havu God Alokeinu. Chazal understood that that pasuk is a source for a number of things. Ishtachavaya, when you hear the Shem HaMeforash, the Mikdash, and a bunch of other things. Those other things, I'm sorry, I can't detail for the moment, are all things having to do with Shem Hashem. Kishem Hashem Makra. Havu God Alokeinu. It's a response to hearing the divine name. What does it have to do with Talmud Torah? Right? You're studying Yeush Midas and Shalom Midas, or I guess Stam, in Yanim and Menachos. That's I guess a little closer at least. But if you're whatever area of Torah you're discussing, are you discussing Shemos Hashem? Right. So how could this be the moment? Which is maybe the reason why many Rishonim, certainly more Poskim and Achronim, think that it's an asmach tabiyal, that the Birchas HaTorah is not Doraisa. It's certainly not separate in many mitzvahs. It maybe is probably not even Doraisa, and that the pasuk is an asmachta. But frankly, even if the pasuk is an asmachta, a good asmachta, always has to make sense. Right? You could say in the end of the day, this isn't sufficient, this isn't the makar, and asmachu, rabbanan akra. But they're only going to be masmich in an akra that makes sense. So what does Kishem Hashem Akra, Hovu Godel Okeinu, have to do with Talmud Torah? That is, I think, the bigger question, and that's a question that applies not only for the Ramban, but for everybody who just reads the Shakla B'Tar this Gemara. And Kol Shekein, it applies to the Ramban, of course, who thinks that this is Doraisa and an independent mitzvah. But I think that the answer is, we don't have much time, the answer can be understood when you go further into the language of the Ramban and Simchat Mitzvahs, it's clear that for the Ramban, the Birchas HaTorah, this is a huge debate among the Rishonim, is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. It's some sort of Birchas Shevach VeHodah, and particularly, again, I'm not going to take the time to read the language, but it's beautiful language. Ramban says that Birchas HaTorah acknowledges the role of the Torah as a guide, as providing direction and a framework to live a meaningful life. That the values which we hold dear and that we cherish come from the Torah. That's a very important, broader theme in the Ramban's works, especially his Perush al HaTorah. He doesn't elaborate all this in these words in Sefer Mitzvahs, but he says basically it's Shevach Hodah, and especially Hodah, to the Ravono Shel Olam that he has provided us this framework, this directive and direction, if you will, to live a life of Chaye Olam, frankly. It's very fascinating that the Ramban quotes almost verbatim the Shaka V'Tari, the Gemara in Brachos, in Sefer Mitzvahs. Even though the Maskana, the Gemara says that Birchas HaMazon L'Chud and Birchas HaTorah L'Chud. Obviously, the Ramban felt that the Shaka V'Tarya, which sees the impact of Talmud Torah as kind of parallel, and even superior to Birchas HaMazon, namely that it's something that you benefit from tremendously. Obviously, not in terms of physical pleasure, but in terms of something more important, providing meaning, infusing purpose into your life. That comparison to Birchas HaMazon, except that it's more, that's Shekei Neri. And here it's Chayola, is a critical element. So it isn't the Birchas HaMitzvah, and that has many repercussions. Bali Tosis, many of them felt that Birchas HaTorah is Birchas HaMitzvah. They talked about Hefsek and other things. Ramban, at least in Sefer Mitzvahs, is taking a totally different approach. Rav Chaim, famously, Melville quotes this in the Kiddush Yagris, thought that Birchas HaTorah is a bracha on Chefza Shel Torah. It's well known, it's well repeated. What does it mean? It means that when you encounter Torah, you have to make a bracha. You have no right not to make a bracha. There's something about encountering, Dvar Hashem, which needs to be acknowledged. And saying the words of Birchas HaTorah is that acknowledgement. It puts in perspective the limud, but it's also independent of the limud. Even if you're not learning, acknowledging that the meaning that you find in life and that the direction that you should be taking is something that derives from Torah, that is what Birchas HaTorah is really all about. And that's v'chaye olam nata v'sochein. So in that sense, I always like to suggest that if you look at the Ramban's Hagdama, to his Perush al HaTorah, famously the Ramban says that Torah itself is different combinations of Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a mystical idea for sure, that the different combinations of the words of the Torah spell out different dimensions of Shem Hashem. But it also has a very logical analog. What do we mean by that? What does the Ramban mean by that? It's powerful that he, emphasizes this in his Akdama, the Perush HaTorah. It's a very strategic, it's not like it's, tucked away in, Alderach HaEmes, somewhere, in the commentary. This is the first thing he writes, and, this is what he wants you to read. He wants you to read his commentary with this in mind. And I think that what he means by it is, the name is an identification, and a name is a way of relating to and interacting. If I tell you my name, especially Shmo Goren, that's what we mean by Shmo Goren. People choose names, they identify themselves, people use names when they come to each other to develop a relationship and a bond. And it's the basis of that relationship. And of course, Shmosav Shel Hashem are that as well. The different Shemos Hashem represent different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world and in the Bria. Everybody knows about Elohim and Hashem, which is Rachamim and Din, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, of course. That's why Shemos Hashem is such an important topic. It overlaps and interfaces, with Hashkafa, you know, in a very, very meaningful way. So what the Ramban is really trying to say is that if you study Torah in depth, this is a way of understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam and understanding the purpose that we have in life. It's a method of doing what is impossible, but which is also indispensable, and that is developing a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond us, you know, in every way. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, we can't even properly describe him, and yet we say, you know, Avinu Malkeinu, you know, and we, in Tfilah, and in Avodas Hashem, we relate to him all the time, as if he's completely accessible. That paradox is solved by Shemos Hashem, and especially by what the Rambam calls the Achdut HaMashkil B'Hamuskal, right? Sometimes, when it seems like you have no access, you develop access by attaching yourself to what you do have access to. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and by attaching ourselves to it, right, we are bonded. I guess the Maral would have said that's, you know, the chibur, you know, that we have, you know, with it. The Rambam formulated a little bit different. The idea is that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmosa of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if we study Torah and understand the values and what distinguishes it from other, you know, legal systems, you know, what values, you know, how the values, you know, are subtly different and the demands they make upon us, then we have an understanding, just like knowing the different names, you know, of somebody that you interact with. We have a bond, a kesher, a way of connecting and relating to Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos, commenting on the words Hevel Nesunim Badin, actually, you know, talks about din there. But what he says is, he says din means choshen mishpat, that a person should be, you know, very reflective when he analyzes, you know, the halacha, including especially in his view choshen mishpat. Then he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. He says, because haskel v'yadoa osi, you know, through seichel, through deep understanding, that's how you gain yediyas Hashem. Right? Otherwise, the Ribbono Shel Olam is off limits to us. He's inaccessible. We just can't, you know, even relate. Through the Torah, he was talking about Choshen Mishpat particularly, but, you know, the pasuk in Yirmiyah doesn't have to relate only to Choshen Mishpat. You know, Hevel Nesunim Bedin, you know, in Avos for Rabbeinu Yonah does, but it's a pshat in Yirmiyah, which stands, you know, independent of the more limited application, and it's consistent with this exact idea. So when we learn Torah, really what we're doing is we are, you know, nothing less than, you know, touching transcendence. We are connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing something, as I said before, which seems philosophically impossible, but with the Ribbono Shel Olam, through his chesed, you know, has made possible. And that's what Talmud Torah is. It's what better way to characterize it, you know, than Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. When you encounter Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the Torah, which provides you with a foundation to interact and to have some sort of real understanding and a basis for interaction, then Havu Godel Elokeinu, you have to acknowledge that, appreciate that. That isn't a Birchas HaTorah in the Birchas HaMitzvah sense alone. It's a bracha on Chafetz Shel Torah, and as Ramban said, it's a bracha acknowledging the role that Torah plays in infusing meaning to our lives. And it's supposed to inspire us, obviously, to learn deeply and to learn, you know, with an understanding of what it is that differentiates Torah and the system of halakha, you know, from other systems, as well as simply just the depth and the values, you know, to be guiding us, in our lives. And if that's the case, then we can appreciate why, you know, this bracha may be d'oraisa from the Ramban, and why it even deserves an independent slot in the Tariq Mitzvahs. Because it is like Mikra Bikurim and Sibur Tzitz Mitzrayim. It highlights, you know, it's not about the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, it's about what makes not only the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah but, you know, Shar Mitzvos in a way are meaningful and significant. And therefore the text, and that is Chayei Olam, the Chayei Olam nota, you know, Bisocheinu. And as such, we can understand why it really is the perfect bracha. And even if it's an asmachta b'alma, it's a good asmachta. It's a very compelling, you know, description of what it is that we want to accomplish. If this is the case, so obviously there are implications. Number one, you know, this should inspire us, you know, to give maximal, you know, effort when it comes to leading ourselves. So the idea that we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kula, that that is the apex of mitzvahs, right? And there are some interesting, you know, wrinkles to that. I mean, why is Talmud Torah more important than other things? But, you know, we have that phrase, and we actually, you know, act upon it. Karahim b'pnimim, kol chafatzacha, you know, lo yishruva. And at the very same time, we say about Talmud Torah, you know, that if it's a mitzvah, she'efsar lasos, ayyacherim, that it clashes with, then you do the mitzvah she'ef shalasos, which triggered the question in the Rishonim, like, why don't you say osek mitzvah patur mitzvah? You know, when you're being osek in Talmud Torah, it's indeed keneged kulam. You say it for, you know, giving tzedakah, and you say it for, you know, taking lulav. Why wouldn't you say it for a mitzvah that is, you know, of greater, you know, stature, you know, and value? And the answer, of course, is that there's a certain dialectic. When you say that Talmud Torah is keneged kula, even as you, what you're basically saying is that Talmud Torah underpins all of Avodas Hashem. And the reason that is the case is what we just said, it's Chayei Olam. It's Kishem Hashem HaKrohavu Godem L'Lokeinu. But because that is the case, you have to measure it differently than you measure other mitzvahs. Meiri has a line in which he says that if you were to apply Osek Mitzvah Patamon to Talmud Torah, then for all intents and purposes, you would be promoting Lilmod Shalom Manas Lasos. And that's why we don't do it. And I think what he meant was not just narrowly, you know, if you were going to apply this, then you wouldn't be doing mitzvahs, and it would be a flaw in the Talmud Torah itself, an internal flaw. I think what he meant, you know, is exactly that. But to take it a step further, I think what he meant is Talmud Torah is the kind of substructure in terms of meaning, you know, for all of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, there's no contradiction between Limud HaTorah and the performance of mitzvos such that, you know, you have two, you know, forces and they collide, and then we have mechanisms where one overrides the other. Those mechanisms don't apply to Talmud Torah precisely because it is keneged kula in the same way that it applies to others, even if what that means is that it's more malleable, right, to the other obligations. Because its role as the underpinning of those other obligations, you know, plays that kind of a role. So if this is the case, then we have to, you know, invest maximal effort. And that maximal effort, you know, includes two components. One, of course, is lei das kol Torah kula. Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed that you know, v'shinanta levanecha shehei divrei Torah bechudadim bepicha shem yishalcha al tegamgem v'tomar, that a person should really be fluent and he should, you know, have the capacity to, you know, his knowledge should be like overflowing. Doesn't mean that he should look things up, and it certainly doesn't mean he should be irresponsible and you know project, you know, knowing things more. You know, with greater certainty than he has. It means that you should, you know, your level of knowledge, it should be, the immersiveness of your learning is such that, you know, this is something that becomes part of you and you don't even need, you know, to check. Or maybe you need to check, but, you know, not because, you know, it's megumgam, not because you're confused or don't understand where things go. And at the same time, and for the same reason, the omek and the iyun of your learning is critical. Because if it really is Chayei Olam, and if, as the Ramban explains about Berachas HaTorah, it's what directs us and provides, you know, a framework for, you know, the singular nature of Jewish life and the life of Avodas Hashem, then obviously it's necessary to understand, you know, what the Torah wants, you know, in each aspect, in each dimension of the mitzvahs. And that comes only with a deeper understanding of the Shakavataria, of the Shitos, of the issues, of the stakes of the issues, etc. And therefore, it's very important, you know, to cultivate both a certain kind of bekiyas, or a certain mastery, you know, of the total part of the system. It's an integrated, you know, more than the sum of its parts system, right? And therefore, knowing it narrowly, you know, is unacceptable. At the same time, knowing it, you know, in depth, as opposed to knowing it, you know, superficially, only the breadth of it is necessary as well. And of course, the balance between these two things is a critical issue in chinuch, and something which, on all levels of chinuch, you need to confront. It's also clear that, you know, there are, you know, there's flexibility, and you would compensate, you know, differently depending on age and experience, and, you know, also the temperament of students, you know, and their capabilities, you know, etc. Good iyun, which is the ultimate goal, in my opinion, is something that even younger students who are capable of it need to be exposed to at a young age, for the sake of understanding what the goal and what the inspiration, you know, of Limud HaTorah is all about. That taste, that exposure, that, you know, familiarity, simply driving home the point that, you know, you're not just reading texts or understanding details, as important as that is, but that there is a, you know, much, you know, a deeper, much more compelling, you know, value system that undergirds the details. That's something critically that all students who are capable should be exposed to, you know, at an early age. At the same time, obviously, it takes a knowledge and breadth, and, you know, part of the integrity of studying something in depth is to acknowledge, you know, the facts, to make, never skip steps, you know, to know where things are located, and, you know, obviously, you know, cultivating, you know, people's opinions, their sparrows, you know, in absence of knowledge and information, is something which reflects a more trivial or frivolous, it's not a real iyun, you know, that's something that simply promotes, you know, speculation. So in education, this is a constant challenge. There are these two goals. On a practical level, you know, what you emphasize is, can be, you know, mutually exclusive or contradictory in any moment. But good, you know, good Torah education is something that, you know, is a little more complex, so that works on multiple levels. So you want to, whether it's for yourselves or as junior mechanchim who are already, you know, providing, you know, service to younger talmidim, it's important to know your audience, and it's important to relate to both of these aspects and elements. From what I understand, it was done, you know, here in the summer. You know, that's very much the policy. That there's, you know, there's like a morning seder. There's a focus on exposing, you know, talmidim younger, talmidim to things that they can't do on their own, but to give them a taste, to give them a sense of inspiration, to inspire them to, you know, to go further, and again to make them aware of what the goals are. And that's important, even if it's, you know, a little bit over their heads sometimes. Just being exposed to that, understanding that, that, you know, Yosef Mimasha, you know, Kosov Khan Yeshkan, you know, is very important. And at the same time, you know, to work on the skills, the language. It's very difficult to learn Gemara. It's a, you know, literally a different language, but it's also a different way of thinking, different derech hachashiva. And you can't skip steps, as you know, as exciting and inspiring, you know, as exposing people only, you know, to the deeper ideas is. And I think that needs to be a critical part and the goal. In the end of the day, it's a disservice to younger students, if you don't work with them, to give them the tools. But you have to do it in a balanced way where it's not all technical work, you know, grudge work, you know, without a payoff or without the inspiration. So I think my time is up. There's a lot more to say. I think there needs to be a lot more flexibility. I think there's too much in the world of education, you know, of kind of a mutually exclusive, you know, strong position. This is the only way, you know, to teach, the only way to learn. Talmud Torah is vast. All of it is kishem Hashem ekraho v'godel elokeinu. People, there's a range of ways to accomplish the balance, and of course, you know, you have to know your audience, and an audience changes in terms of their age and other factors as well. A responsible approach needs to be taken. But in the end, you know, whether it's this emphasis or that emphasis within the range, it's critical that we continue always to convey the principle of Kishem Hashem Ekraho V'Godel L'Elokeinu. And Talmud Torah isn't, you know, only a mitzvah and not just about, you know, interesting information and facts and ideas, but at the end of the day, it really is about the framework, the foundation of our framework in interacting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, really, as I say, accessing what otherwise would be impossible, and that is Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a bond which makes our lives worthwhile, indeed, Chayei Olam. Thank you. We'll get your questions.